I'm a person that likes to deal with words. Obviously, you know how I go through the Greek and I go through the, you know, even the Hebrew, and I'm doing things like that in order to find out what words actually really mean. And I'm bothered in our culture today that we use words and we don't use them as they, you know, as what they really mean. For example, today we use the word mistake when it is a sin. I've heard, honestly, I actually had this happen one time. A pastor said to me, and he was not the senior pastor, but he was a pastor. A pastor said to me, "I made a mistake. I've been in an affair for 3.5 years. I said, let's see, it was a mistake. When did you first discover it was wrong? Was it after the first year or the second year? Do you understand what I'm saying to you?" And the answer to that is that it's not a mistake when you know that God doesn't want you to do it. It's a sin. Let's call it what it is. And another one is the word misspoke when we told a lie. Have you ever heard that word? I misspoke. And I love that one. I mean, I misspoke when I called you John instead of Jake. I understand that. I misspoke because I just got the wrong one. But when I took the cookie from the cookie jar, and I tell you that I didn't take the cookie from the cookie jar, I didn't misspeak. I lied. Let's be honest here. That's the word. Another word that we use, and we use it quite frequently, is this word deserve. You know, we look at that word. This is a long time ago. I remember there was this ad on TV that said, "You really deserve a Buick." You know, and understand what I'm saying? It was back way back when, you know. Might as well said you, today you'd say Oldsmobile. Nobody know what you're talking about. But the thing is that you really deserve a Buick. And I go, where do you get this word deserve? When is it that something that you deserve? Now, see, when you deserve something, you have earned it. Now, there's a difference there. You have earned it. In other words, you have a right that has been given to you, a right that you have, that you should have that thing, and that becomes what is deserved. But when we talk about sin, do we ever talk about what we deserve? No, we don't. We don't want to hear about what we deserve. What we want to talk about is mercy. Now, let's talk about that word mercy. Mercy is giving people something better than what they deserve. In other words, when they had a penalty, and that penalty is something is here, and you give them less than that, that is mercy. That's what mercy is. We have a God of mercy. Understand? It says in Romans chapter 9, verse 14. What shall we say then? Is there injustice on God's part? By no means. Now, I got to go back and tell you what the scripture, you know, because I preached on the scripture before this several weeks ago. And several weeks ago, I talked to you about how God chose Jacob over Esau. Remember, they're twins. They're twins, and God chose Jacob over Esau before they were ever born. And a lot of people would say, well, that's no justice in that. Well, here's the story. God still makes decisions based on what he knows. And what does God know? It's easier to say, what does God not know? Because there's nothing there. And so he knew how Esau was going to sell his own birthright out for a meal. He knew that he was going to marry the foreign women that would make his parents bitter, give bitterness into his parents. He knew that was going to happen before Esau was born, and he chose Jacob. Is God unjust then? Is there any justice? Now, let's get to that word, that understanding of God and his mercy. First, we need to recognize we have no rights when we stand before God. I think that what we want to say is that God has to do this because what? Now, God doesn't have to do anything other than what he said he's going to do. When God says he's going to do it, it's going to happen. Now, that part you can count on. But we have no rights that are inherent that we have. Justice is a reward or a penalty that is as deserved. And now God rewards and punishes many things. That, you see that in the parable of the talents. You know the story of the parable of the talents. It says that a master was going away on a journey, and he called in three of his servants, and according to their ability, he gave them responsibility. What he did was, he said, I'm going to give you this one. He says, I'm going to give you five talents. And believe me, a talent, and I've heard all the arguments in the world, but just understand, it's a boatload of money. Just understand that. It's just a boatload of money. Okay, a talent is a boatload. So he got five. And he says to the next one, he says, you get two talents. You get two talents. And according to your ability, you take the two talents. And the other one, you got one talent. You got one talent. It's according to your ability. And you remember the story. What happened? The one that had the five came back with five more. And what did God say? I'm going to reward you. I'm going to reward you for what you have done. The one with two came back with two more. And he said, I'm going to reward you. Now, what did he give him? He gave him double responsibility in both of those cases. Do you understand? Now, the one that had five had ten, has double responsibility. The one that had two has four. He has a double responsibility. But then the one that had only one, he says, I know you're a hard man, and I was afraid to lose your money. So what I did was, is that I took it and hid it away, and I didn't do anything with it. And so here, I just want to give you back your money. That's all I'm going to give you. And what did God say? Did he say, oh, that's okay. I didn't expect any more out of you. But according to his ability, he expected him to come back with one more as well. So what did he do? He took that away from him. And he said, get out of my house. I don't see you around anymore. Do you understand what's going on here? There was reward and there was penalty according to what each one had deserved. And God gave it to them that way. So was it unjust for God to give them different amounts? No. He gave it to them according to their abilities. It would have been unjust if God had given them something that they couldn't deal with. But he did it according to their ability. He knew what they could handle. Does this fit in with the teaching of the vine when Jesus is talking about it? Jesus said in John 15:2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Now, you know what? Most people look at that and they say, oh, Lord, please don't prune me. Well, then where does it put you? He puts you in the trash heap is what happens. If you're saying, oh Lord, don't prune me, you're saying, put me in the trash heap. In other words, you're saying, I want the punishment and not the reward. Now, think about this. And let's say you're a football coach. You're a football coach and you need one wide receiver. And so you have open tryouts. And you have two guys. These two guys come in. One of them runs the 40-yard dash in 5.8 seconds. The other one runs the 40-yard dash in 4.29 seconds. What do? You take the one who runs the 5.8 seconds, and you say, adios, goodbye. And you know what you do with the one with the 4.29 seconds? You make him run sprints. That's what you do. That's exactly what a coach is going to do. That one that is going to produce gets pruned to produce even more. The one that doesn't produce gets dismissed, not to be able to produce. See, here's the situation with people. People believe that God owes them something. Hear this from me. God doesn't owe us a thing. God is not required to give you a second chance to remain just. He's not required to do so. Justice has nothing to do with fairness. And I've even heard preachers say this. They said, God is fair. I want you to hear this right now. God is not fair. He's not fair. If God was fair, all of the men would keep all their hair all their lives. You understand? All of us would be at least 6'3". You understand what I'm saying? If God was in the fairness business, then there would be fairness across the board. God is not fair. He is just. That's a whole different word. Fairness is like like a man being put into a totally dark room looking for a black cat, and that black cat's not there. You will chase after fairness for the rest of your life because you cannot make things all the way fair all of the time. It is impossible to do so. God does not go in the fairness business. He does not have to give you a second chance in order for him to remain just. Now think about this. Okay, an employer is going to give a promotion, and that employer comes to you and says, I'd like to give you this promotion. And you say, well, the last time she offered a promotion to somebody, what happened was is that the person turned it down, and she came back a week later and offered them more money to take it. So what I'm going to do is that I'm going to turn it down this time. And then that employer goes and offers that promotion to somebody else, and they take it. Was that employer unjust for not coming back to you a second time? No. It was the employer's right, responsibility, or whatever you want to call it, to be able to say, I offered it to you, and you turned it down. And now I've offered it to somebody else. I don't have to come back to you again. God's offer of salvation comes to those who accept him and reject him. And that doesn't mean that everybody jumps on that opportunity. Many people accepted Christ at Pentecost, didn't they? They heard the gospel. They received the gospel. And many people came to know the Lord on that day. So 3,000 people came to know the Lord on that day. Amazing things. We go a few chapters further down into Acts. You've got Stephen preaching. Stephen is preaching the gospel. And what do? They stone him for preaching the gospel. And they do not receive him. They still heard the gospel. You've got a story of Cornelius. Cornelius and his whole family. They received the gospel as Peter tells them the story of the gospel. You've got the story. All of this is a book of Acts. You've got the story further down. King Agrippa says, Paul, you almost convinced me to become a Christian today. Do you know what the word almost means? If you say, I almost caught the bus, what does that mean? You're still standing on the sidewalk, is what it means. I mean, it's exactly what it means. It means you didn't do it. And so Paul has preached to King Agrippa, and King Agrippa says, you almost did it. In other words, he gave him the gospel, and he turned it down. So God gives the gospel to people who are going to accept him, and he's going to do it to people that are going to reject him. And now, God is not cavalier in choosing who this is going to happen to and who's going to have a second chance. See, salvation is his offer. He remains just. Remember the parable of the vineyard. Parable of the vineyard is this. He's hiring a bunch of people. He says, I'm going to give you a denarius. You come and work for me for the day. So he starts with some of the people, and they start at the first hour of the day. And he goes down through the day, and he goes, and they get further down the day. He keeps hiring people. And finally, he's hiring people at the very last hour. They only end up working 1 hour for him for the denarius. And so what happens is that guy, that employer, he gives that the last one comes first. And so he says to the last one, he says, I'm going to give you a denarius. And so the people that have worked all day think, he's going to be fair. Not just, but fair. And what does he say? They say, he must be going to give us more. We worked all day. They only worked a little bit. And remember what it says? Wasn't it his money in the first place to determine how he was going to pay them? Didn't they agree that they were going to work for a denarius on that day? And so, why would it be that we would think that if God doesn't give you another chance, that you're going to say, well, God is an unjust God? See, we live in a world that has mixed up fairness with justice. If I have my yard mowed by two different companies, and I pay one of them $15, and I pay the other one $20, have I been unjust to one and not the other? Have I been unjust in that? No. They agreed that this is what I'd pay them. If I'm going to Singapore, just give you a little idea of what it costs and everything. I'm going to Singapore in several weeks. It's quite a while. But the thing is that if I pay Delta $1,850 to go over there this year, And next year I pay Singapore Airlines $1,350 to go over there. Have I cheated Singapore Airlines? No, I haven't cheated them. Isn't that what they agreed to charge? Or if you look at the other way, has Delta then cheated me? Isn't that what I agreed to pay? Isn't that the way it should be? So there is no fairness in this, but there is justice. Let's go on to this next verse in Romans chapter 9, verse 15. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. Now, I realized I don't have this on the screen, and I realized that I just have to get into this. Let's go back to Exodus 33:19, this is just a part of the quote on that verse. Let's go to verse 18. God has told Moses, you can ask whatever you want, and I'll give it to you. And so Moses says in Exodus 33:18, Moses said, please show me your glory. Please show me your glory. Then in verse 19, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. What is going on here? See, Moses has asked to see God's glory. God has responded by telling him, you will see my goodness and proclaim the name of the Lord. You will see my goodness and you will proclaim the name of the Lord. That proclamation means that there will be people that will receive God's mercy and some compassion, and some will not. Now, God is not capricious in his choosing, but even if he was, he would not be unjust. He chooses out of his knowledge, as he chose Jacob over Esau, because he knew what Esau would do. See, and here's the situation, folks. When you start looking at God, understand, you do not know everything that God knows. You don't know all of the ins and outs. You don't know. And when we start going and making any kind of judgment, what we're doing is we're doing it with limited knowledge. Sounds like a political ad, doesn't it? In a political ad, what they do is they leave out the parts they don't want you to know. Doesn't matter who the politician is. They put an ad on there and they say, this politician said such and such. Well, let's leave out the part that they don't want you to know what the politician said. Regardless of which side you're on, this is a tactic that is there. If you knew the whole story, it might change your whole opinion or change your whole vote. We never know all that God knows. And we don't know how he makes his decision. But when he makes his decision, what we realize, the goodness that has come to us reveals who God is. When we receive that goodness, we don't really even know why we receive the goodness. In reality, the goodness that has come to us reveals who God is. And so we see that goodness in his salvation. And if you've been saved, you know what you'll say? I don't know why God saved me. I mean, I'm not anything special. I'm not anything special myself. I don't know why God saved me. Then that salvation restores the glory of God. You see, that salvation restores the glory of God. For God's glory is seen in his salvation. It restores the very glory of God. You know, it says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Sin is falling short of God's glory. Salvation is restoring that glory to us. You realize that? God is restoring that glory. What is that glory? That we shall walk with him. Not that we will, that we'll be magnificent in a lot of ways, or that we deserved a lot of things, but that we will simply walk with him, because we have fallen short and there was no way to make our arrow make it to the target. And so God put his strength behind it so that we could hit the target again. So when we tell the story of salvation, when we proclaim God's goodness, we do it without knowledge of whether or not that person is ever going to receive Christ. We have no idea. And we may never know why that person accepts or rejects Christ. When I was in Costa Rica, We were doing the knocking on the, you know, the door. Actually, we're yelling out to the people until they come out of their houses because there's a gate between you and the door. Anyway, so we were, and this guy invited us into the gate, and we began to talk to him. I was talking to him through the interpreter. I suspect he understood more English than he was letting on, because he was certainly paying attention to what I was saying as much as he was paying attention to the translator. And so when I told him that we all fell short of the glory of God, he agreed. He understood that. And when I got to the point where I told him that the wages of sin was death and we were separated from God, he agreed. And so when I told him that Jesus Christ had paid the price for our sin because somebody had to pay the price, you know what? He agreed. And then when I asked him the question, would you like to know God in a very personal way? He said, yes. Now here's the situation. And I said in my heart, in my mind actually too, this man's going to receive Christ right here. Suddenly right there. He said, no, I don't have time. It was as if there had been a light switch and it just got turned off. And I looked up and he says, no, you must leave now. You know, and we just, here he was. He agreed. And all of a sudden, no, you know. And Fabiana, who was my translator, she said, I made a face. And I think when he saw my face, he decided to do that. And I said, that's not it, folks. I don't have a reason. I don't know what the reason is. But I don't think it's making a face. I don't think it's because of something that suddenly you did. Maybe you said the wrong words, or maybe there's something that happened. I don't think it's that. I don't understand it. But I do know that some people accept Christ and some will not accept Christ. And God has mercy on the persons he has mercy, and he'll have compassion on those he's going to have compassion, and those he's not, he doesn't. And maybe that man will get another chance. I have no idea. I have no idea. But I know he rejected him then. And so we go on in Romans verse 16. So then it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy. Realize this. It is God's mercy to come to you and give you the story of salvation. It's God's mercy to call you into a ministry that he wants you in. It's in God's mercy that he comes to you and says, you didn't forgive so-and-so. You need to go over there and forgive so-and-so and make things right with that person. But it's not my fault. It doesn't matter. When God tells you to do it, you do it. It's God's mercy that says that you go and ask for forgiveness. You realize this. This is God's mercy because he wants to put us back in that right relationship with him so that we can walk with him again. See, salvation comes from God's mercy. It doesn't matter how much you give to the church. It doesn't matter how much you've prayed. It doesn't matter how much anything you've done. God offers his salvation. God offers his presence. Out of his mercy. He did not owe it to us. We don't have a right to have it. He simply gives it to us. It is God's grace that gives you this very moment that we're in right now. For God does not even owe us life. He does not owe us prosperity. He does not owe us health. He does not owe us anything. But what we deserve is that everything short of burning in hell eternally is God's mercy. Everything short of burning in hell, eternally in hell, is God's mercy. You have this moment out of God's mercy. And the moment disappears in an instant. It is out of God's mercy that he calls you. It is out of God's mercy that he saves us. It is out of God's mercy that when we walk away from him and he calls us and says, come home again. You know, we turn around and it's not because we deserve it. It's because out of his mercy that he calls us home and he says, come home and walk with me again. It is out of God's mercy that he allows us to see his glory. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, folks. There have been lots of times that I've let a moment pass by. I failed to share His love with somebody when God told me to do it. I can't go back and get that moment back. Do you understand? I can tell you that I failed to call somebody when he told me to call somebody, just to make a phone call. And not because I knew what was going to happen on the other end, but because he just said, do it. And I didn't do it. And I failed to say the words of forgiveness when the moment came to people, when I should have forgiven them. And what I wanted, I didn't want to give them forgiveness. I wanted to give them revenge is what I wanted to give them. And I let the moment pass by. And I failed to ask for forgiveness at times and let that moment pass by. Many years ago, I was sitting in church and I was listening to the preacher. It was a guy named Milton Garner. It was at Friendly Baptist Church in Tyler, Texas. I was sitting in about the fourth row back and I was taking notes and I was minding my own business. And I remember the pastor, Milton Garner, saying, "What if it were the last time that God would have offered me salvation and I had said no?" I think a lot of people think, well, I got another opportunity. I can do this tomorrow. Did you know that D.L. Moody was preaching one time? There's an evangelist from over a century ago. He was preaching one time. He told everybody to go home. He said, think about it and come back. That night was the night of the great Chicago fire, and that was in Chicago. And many of those people didn't get the opportunity to come back. What if it was the last time you're offered salvation and you said no? But then he said something else. I was already saved. He said, what if it's the last time God calls you into the ministry and I said no? He said, what if it was the last time God called me in the ministry and I said no? And I was sitting right there and my pen stopped right there in my taking my notes. And at that moment, I cannot explain it to you, but at that moment, I heard God say, I'm calling you. And it scared me half to death. I'm going to tell you right. I said, I don't know what this means. I don't know what it is with God. And I said, and he said, but you see, I wasn't promised another chance. I wasn't promised that I was going to get another chance to do this. And so I didn't know what to do. And so they offered the invitation. And you know how people come down during the invitation this way? Do you know what I did? I went in and I walked out this way. I went out the back door and I saw the associate pastor out there and I said, I believe God's calling me into the ministry. And you know what he said to me? Quote, well, I could have told you that. I said, you're no help. And I walked away from him. And I made an appointment with the pastor that week. And I said, I don't want to do anything rash. I don't want to do anything brash. I said, but this is what happened. And I remember he asked me two questions. He said, do you like what you're doing? I said, I'm teaching school. I love teaching school. And he said, okay. Second question, can you keep doing it? And I said, not knowing that God's called me. Now, here's the story, folks. That was the first time he called me. I didn't know if there was a second time. And I don't know for you that there is a second time for anything that is out there. I don't know that for you, if you've been walking away for the Lord's going to give you another chance to come home. I don't know for you that if God has called you into the ministry, He's going to give you another call. I don't know for you that if He's calling you to know Him as your Savior, that you're going to get a second chance. I don't know. Your moment is right now, and it's full of God's mercy. That's what I know. Pray with me.